Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open your Bibles to Luke, the first chapter. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 26. And let me also say that we are in the middle of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering time period, where we are collecting for that, because we send that in right before the first of the year to go to missions all around the world. Our international missionaries, through the International Mission Board of our convention, are supported by this offering. We have a $20,000 goal, and so I just want to really make you aware of that and push that we're all aware of that offering, and we do our very best as we take part in that offering. It's going to be an amazing opportunity to send resources to, in this, all of this, none of this goes to administrative. It all goes to our missionaries around the world. So it's a tremendous blessing. Our church has participated in this its entire history. And so I encourage you to be a part of it. Also, the Hoosier One board is still up, and we're going to keep that up. And so I just want to remind you, as the Lord puts somebody on your heart, who's your one that you could share Jesus Christ with? There's never been a better time of year than at Christmas to share Christ, His love. We're actually talking about the love of Christmas today, and what a privilege we have to share Jesus Christ with people. And the Lord puts people on our heart as a believer. I'm trusting and I'm asking you to pray that God may put someone on your heart. Well, this board with these little balls in it represent people. It's all about people. The white balls represent those that are on our hearts, and we just write their first name there, drop it in there. And then as we have gospel conversations, you take that little orange ball, and God gives you an opportunity to share Christ with someone, share Christ with the person whom He's put on your heart. Then you write that down, and you put a ball in there to indicate that. It's just a visual of us being at work sharing Christ with people. And then if someone comes to know Jesus, oh, the glory of that, then you take that green ball and you put that in there, and that represents those who have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So I encourage you to be a part of Who's Your One. Maybe you haven't done that yet, but in today's service, the Lord put somebody on your heart. I'm praying that He will. Someone you can just begin praying for. We had a series of messages that Kurt and Chris and I gave on sharing our faith. And I encourage you to go back on our podcast. Go back either on our Facebook broadcast or go back to our podcast on our website and listen to those, because it gives a feel, it gives a training effort in how to share our faith. And this is what it's all about, folks, at Christmas time, is getting the gospel to people. I want us to look at our passage today, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and we'll read to verse 38. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, an angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. We have one just got married yesterday, actually. And some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today, and we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we do not understand. Now, church family, our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples, who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. In 1965, Burt Bacharach, a song composer, wrote one of his most famous songs, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. And the words to that song, it's the only thing that there's just too little of. Now, I'm not going to do it. I would ask a show of hands, who could sing that song? I have no idea how famous that may be now, but back then, it became a very, very famous song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Matter of fact, most of music, a lot of music, pop music, music that is written today for the world, is about love. Our world is starving for love. The world needs to know that there is a God who sent Jesus to save us from ourselves and our sin, and to provide for us the greatest source of hope, of peace, and of love to be found anywhere. This is what Christmas really is all about. Love that can heal someone who is bitter. Even someone who has had a very tough life can overcome because of God's love. Now, God's love demands a response. We must respond to God's love in an appropriate way. Love wins. Love makes an impact. I remember a story of a pastor who went to see a man who was not a believer. The man's wife was a believer, and they were asking that the pastor would come and talk to this man about Jesus, and he had talked to him on several occasions, but he once again would go back, and he went to talk to the man, and the man said, I'll talk to you, but I'm not interested in the gospel. And so they sat there, and his wife was there, and his little girl was there, and the pastor shared Jesus Christ with that man. Maybe you know someone that has been just a difficult person to talk to about Christ. Maybe it's you. Well, this man kept saying, no, I don't want to give my life to Christ. I don't want to turn from my sin. I don't want to trust Christ. And so the pastor said, well, thank you so much, sir, for talking with me today. And I just want you to know that God loves you and he has a plan for you. He sent his son Jesus so that you might know you are loved by God. And the pastor was to make his way out. And the little teeny girl who was in elementary school, old enough to understand about the love of Jesus, she said, Oh, Daddy, won't you give your life to Jesus? And she said it with only the kind of love that a little girl would have for this dad. Now, this dad was a gruff guy who really was not that tender. But when he heard the love of his little girl, the pastor told me the story, and the man broke down right there in his own living room and began to weep. And he said, "Yes, honey, I need Jesus." And he gave his heart and life to Christ. What the world needs now is love. And that love comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have an example in our passage today, our Christmas passage today, of someone who responded to the love of God and gives us insight how we should respond. I want us to look at that passage together as we study it about Mary and how she responded to God's love. The love of Christmas happens when one experiences the greatest gift of all, the grace of Almighty God. Now, Mary was a teenage girl who faced a decision. Would she cooperate with God and embrace His will for her? God's love is displayed by His presence and grace in our lives. Life is most wonderful when we are surrendered to His will. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is this: love can trouble you. We see in the passage in verse 28, it says, and this is Luke chapter 1, verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, the phrase "highly favored" in verse 28 means much graced. It means to make accepted. It means to be filled with grace. It does not suggest that she merited any favor from God, but that God gave her grace as a gift. He said, the angel said, "highly favored one." In verse 28, it says, "the Lord is with you." It's not a wish. We pray that the Lord will be with you. The angel said, "the Lord is with you." It was a declaration. If you look at verse 30, the scripture says, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor." That word favor in verse 32 is the same word that's in verse 28 that says highly favored. It's the same word. And note, a person is a recipient of that favor. They're not a dispenser of that favor. Mary, God was not saying, "Mary, you are going to be a dispenser of favor to people." No, He was saying, "You are being given favor." Now, how did she respond in verse 29? It says, "But when she saw Him, she was troubled." The word means she was disturbed. Why was she disturbed? Well, she was an ordinary girl from a very small town. You would think that if God was going to grace someone with giving birth to the Son of God, that maybe it would be someone famous. You know, someone would be from prominence. Now, we do that still. We still think that for God's purposes to be done, boy, it would be great if famous people would come to know the Lord. Do you realize that God uses ordinary people? I'm so glad of that. Most days I feel ordinary. How about you? Most days I just feel ordinary. Not that great of accolades, not much I can put on a resume, but I feel ordinary. Well, guess what? You and I are good candidates to be used by Almighty God, because Mary was just an ordinary person. Kent Hughes puts it this way when he says about Mary. He says, "From all indicators, her life would not be extraordinary. She would marry humbly, give birth to numerous poor children, never travel farther than a few miles from home, and one day die like thousands of others before her, a nobody in a nobody town in the middle of nowhere." Well, we're here in Gainesville. I don't know that I would say Gainesville's a nobody town, okay? I think that Gainesville, we've got some accolades here. We got the Gators, we got Santa Fe College, we got some business here, we got some wonderful people here. But compared to some of the huge cities of our world, what in the world's going to come out of Gainesville? What in the world's going to come out of some of our surrounding areas? And Mary was from a town like that. In verse 29, look what it says. She saw Him, she was troubled at His saying, and then considered. That word means to contemplate. All of a sudden, she started thinking. Now, why is this going to happen? Because it didn't make sense. Look at verse 34 in your passage. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man? How can I become pregnant? I've never had sexual relations with a man. How can it be that I'm going to give birth to a baby?" It didn't make sense. How can these things be? And in some ways, listen, in some ways we ask the same question when God tries to bring his salvation to us, his favor to us. We say, "How can this be? This doesn't make any sense. What would people think?" She thought. She was espoused to Joseph. She was engaged, so to speak, to Joseph. But yet, was she going to give birth? And they were not really married. They were not married. They had just been engaged. How would the people in her life respond? I remember when that song came out years ago. The song, "It's Such a Strange Way to Change the World." You remember? You know that song? Shake your head if you know what I'm talking about. Nobody's shaking your head. Okay, wonderful. All right. In that song, the words are, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade," talking about Joseph. "Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why Jesus, a baby in a manger, when you've got all these rulers in the world that could change history?" And then the words say, "Why here in a stable filled with hay?" You'd think Jesus would be born in a palace. And then the words say, "Why her?" Talking about Mary, the subject of our Christmas passage today. Why Mary? Because the words to the song say, "She's just an ordinary girl." And then the words go on to say this. Now, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. You know, it's strange that God saved me. It's strange that God saved you. It's unusual. You're just an ordinary person whom God has shown favor. You didn't deserve it. Amen? You didn't deserve it. And I know I didn't deserve it. And I know some of y'all, and I know you didn't deserve it. And guess what? You know me, and you know I didn't deserve it. But what a strange way to save the world. God sent an angel to an ordinary girl and said, "You're going to give birth and you're going to have Jesus and he's going to be the Son of God." Now, I want you to consider the call of God upon your life to be saved and to live your life for him. You know, this is not an unusual pattern. When God came to Moses, Moses wasn't ready for the assignment God was going to give him. When God came to Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, "No, not me. I can't speak." And yet God used Jeremiah. When God came to David, David was a shepherd boy. He was one that his dad didn't even bring out for the prophet to examine. They said, "Do you have any other sons?" He said, "Well, we do have one other son. He's out with the sheep. Go get him." It turns out David was the one chosen. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to consider God's call upon your life. Do you realize that at Christmas time, God is trying to highly favor you? God is communicating love to you. What the world needs now is love. They got that right, but they don't know the answer. They didn't know the real answer. The true answer is the love that comes from God. God is the one at Christmas time that demonstrates his love to the world. So my question to you today is, what will be your response? Because love can trouble you. The love of God to you can trouble you. What is this going to mean for me if I really surrender to the will of God? What is this going to mean for my future, for my family, for my business, for my relationships? How will that change? You must answer to the grace of God. Now, not only can God's love trouble you, but number two, love demands of you. In verse 37, it says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." The angel is saying to her, let me put all your fears aside. You trust in God. You be willing and God will do it. Can I tell you this? She couldn't do it on her own anyway. It's going to take supernatural power. And you cannot live your life for Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved with anything that you've done. It's all of God. It's all what He has done for us. And yet it does demand a response. And if you notice in verse 37, it says, nothing is impossible. Mary had to acknowledge that she couldn't do it. Look in verse 48. Excuse me. Now, in verses 46 through 55, we have a song of response. But in verse 48 of that, she says in her response, she says, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. The lowly estate, that phrase indicates that she is acknowledging her sinful condition. I'm in a lowly estate. For us to receive the favor of God, for Mary to receive that favor, she had to recognize that this was not from her. She really didn't deserve it. She was of a lowly estate. And so she responds with acceptance. Look at verse 38. And this is a picture right here of someone who acknowledges the gift of God, the grace of God, and receives that grace. Because in verse 38, it says, then Mary said, behold, behold. The word behold is from a word that means to see. This is important, church. It means to see. And basically what she's saying, behold, in other words, look at me. Behold, look at me. I'm undeserving, is what she's saying. Can I say this to you? Every true follower of Jesus Christ comes to a point in their life when they realize, behold, I cannot do this. I cannot earn my salvation. There's not enough philosophy that I could study. There's not enough world religions that I could study. There's not enough meditation that I could do. There's not enough money that I could give. There's nothing that I could do. Behold, look at me, God. Look at me. I have nothing to give. When you're at that point is when you're ready to receive the grace of God, and you are ready to be highly favored by the Lord. She says, behold, verse 38, the maid servant of the Lord. And that is the word for a bond servant. That is the word for a bond servant who's willing to turn away from what they want to do and embrace what their master wants them to do. And that's really what lordship is all about in our life. It's turning over the controls of our life. Really, life comes down to a couple of things. It comes down to, are you going to control your life? Are you going to let God control your life? Are you going to control your life and say, I run my life? Or are you going to give Jesus Christ control of your life? I use this illustration often where I tell someone, giving your life to Christ is like you're driving the car of your life. You like to drive? You're driving the car of your life. If you want to go faster, you push on the gas and you go faster because you've decided to go faster. If you want to turn left, you turn left. You want to turn right, you turn right. You put on your blinker, you take off your blinker. You put on your brake, you take off your brake. You're in control. Being a Christian is like getting out of the driver's seat and saying, you know what? I'm tired of driving the way I've been driving. I'm tired of being in control of the car of my life. And you go around the car and you sit in the passenger seat and you say, Lord Jesus, would you please drive? Would you be the Lord of my life? Or would you take me where you want to take me? And so, in our passage today, she says, behold, the maidservant or the bondservant of the Lord. And then she says this phrase, let it be to me according to your word. She put herself at God's disposal. She was saying yes, even if it meant the shame of an unwed pregnancy for her, in the sense that she was betrothed to Joseph. She counted that cost. She was going to raise the Son of God. She didn't know necessarily all that Calvary meant, but she said yes. She was willing. Be it unto me according to your word. F.B. Meyer was an evangelist and he was a pastor, and he went to hear C.T. Studd and the group known as the Cambridge Seven. These were young people that were at Cambridge University, and God called them to go with the China Inland Mission. They got up one day and they gave testimony about how they were They were, C.T. Studd was the greatest athlete in England at the time, and he was walking away from that to take his life to China, and others were there as well. And it really convicted F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer was a pastor, and he said, he went up and talked to C.T. Studd after the meeting, and he said, I don't understand. You guys have such power. And C.T. Studd said to him, he said, have you made Christ Lord of your life? And he said, yes, but he knew deep down inside he didn't. And so he went to his house, and he took out a set of keys, and he said, Lord, these are all the keys to my life. You have every room. You have the key to every room of my life. But he knew there was one key that was not on that ring symbolically in his mind. There was one area of his life he had not given, and it was like the Lord said to him, if I don't have all the keys, I won't take these keys if I don't get all the keys. And so F.B. Meyer tells the story that he said to the Lord, Lord, you've got them all now, and he surrendered complete and total lordship of his life to the Lord. This is what Mary is doing. She says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, the bondservant of the Lord. And then this phrase, verse 38, is an amazing phrase when she says, let it be to me according to thy word. What is it that God is wanting you to do? Maybe he is giving you overtures of love this morning for you to be saved, for you to put your faith and trust in Christ. You have to count the cost. Are you willing to turn away from your sin? Are you willing to repent of your sin? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everyone. Every religious person, down to the one that is totally unreligious, they must turn from their sin and repent and put their faith and trust in Christ. Maybe you're a believer here today, and the will of God is for you to do something. There's some assignment the Lord wants you to do. Maybe it's work with young people. Maybe it's work with children. Maybe it's to go on the mission field. And you're counting the cost. You're wondering whether you should do it. Mary understood the love of Christmas, and she said, Lord, look at me. I really don't have anything to give. Look at me. But I will be your bondservant. I will be your maidservant. Be it unto me according to thy will. I have an old Bible that I used to use many, many years ago, and in the front of it, there was a little sticker I put in there. I used to challenge young people with this commitment. All that I am, all that I have, all that I ever hope to be, I now and forever dedicate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, hold me to it. And I remember making that commitment. And I pray that every day of my life that I would be willing to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing. Whatever the questions are, the answer is yes. What is it God's calling you to do? You know, the Lord has commanded us to get the gospel to people. Maybe there's somebody in your world that you need to share. You need to speak up and share the gospel with them. You need to love them. Build a bridge of love with your one, so that the gospel would travel across that bridge to that person who needs to know the love of God. Be it unto me according to thy will. Well, she was willing to do that. Now, not only can love trouble you because it doesn't make sense, why would the Lord favor you? Not only does love demand of you, the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, the words go like this: When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. And then the very last stanza says this: Were the whole realm of nature mine? Think about that. That were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine. And then it makes this statement. I love this statement in this hymn. It demands my soul, my life, my all. The writer of that hymn took a look at the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus hanging on that cross. And in his words of that hymn, he basically was saying this: when I take a look at what Jesus Christ has done for me, I just can't be the same. It demands my life. It demands my soul. It demands my all. The third thing is love's, Christmas love's result in you. Now, in verses 46 through 55, we have Mary's Magnificat. This is a song of glory, a song of joy and triumph that she sings after she has given her heart and said, "Lord, be it unto me according to thy will." And by the way, church family, you can tell a lot about a congregation by the way we sing. Because when you have surrendered to the Lord, it is natural for worship to flow. It is natural for worship to just be part of your life because you have thought through the commitment that it took of the Lord Jesus to provide salvation, and you have been the recipient of that favor. And so here she writes it. She says, "My soul," you know that song, my soul magnifies the Lord. We sing that. Here's where it's from. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded," the word regarded means to gaze. I love that phrase. "He has regarded," it means God has gazed at me. She says, God has gazed at me. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? The Lord is looking at you. He's gazing at you, and he knows this. He knows that really, for you to know him, it's not anything you can do. And even knowing that, can I tell you this? You don't know everything about me. Boy, I sure am glad. You don't know everything about you, and you know what? I don't know everything about you. But you know who does know everything about you? God. And do you know that God knows everything about you and everything about me, and he still offers us salvation? He says, she says in that passage, "You have regarded," in verse 48, "the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And boy, they have, haven't they? All generations have called her blessed because she bore the Son of God. In verse 50, it talks about the mercy of God, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Ladies and gentlemen, a great theologian was asked one time, you know, in a big meeting, you know, preachers and theologians like to pontificate on stuff. And they asked this great theologian, "Hey, what is the greatest theological truth that you've ever contemplated in your life?" Boy, they were waiting for it, you know? And he basically said this: "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Merry Christmas, folks. You are highly favored. You have been extended the grace of God. Boy, I tell you what, these precious children, you think about them, these little lives. Boy, you should have seen them back there. These kids back here that got baptized, they're like family. Two of them are cousins, and Gavin's really in the family too. Amen? He is. I'm telling you, those kids are like, and man, they're back there high-fiving. I've never seen so much smiling. Hey, let me tell you something. Can I just tell you this? The baptistry is the most exciting place in the church. I tell them that every time I'm back there. Man, I tell you what, there's great parts about being a pastor. I love being a pastor, but I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting than being in the baptistry of a church. And I think about those kids. They'll remember this all their life. Oh yeah, I remember that. It was Christmas time, and my church was there, and my parents were there, and other relatives was there. My church family was there, and I had given my life to Christ. I had become a Christian weeks before, and that was the day that I got baptized. And man, I got baptized with some of my friends. Let me tell you something. I tell you, it causes joy to come in your life. the greatest truth, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yesterday, I watched an old film that Billy Graham put out. I've told y'all about how this impacted me when I was a kid. In 1967, a 17-year-old girl jumped from a platform into the Chesapeake Bay. Her name was Johnny. And she jumped in the Chesapeake Bay, and she was an athlete. She was a swimmer and a diver. She rode horses. She was very active, and she snapped her neck. What happened was she went through all the stages of grief. When the doctors came and told her that she would only have very, very limited use of her arms and all of this, and she had to wrestle with it. She had to wrestle with, what did it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? This is what Mary had to wrestle with. What does it mean to follow Jesus? The lot I'm given in life. Can I follow this Lord? Will He be with me? The reason this is so powerful to me is because Billy Graham got a hold of her message, and in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, they made a film about it, and I was a teenager at the time. I was about 19 years old, I think, when that movie came out. And of course, when you're 19, you're like some of these college students, you know, you're just thinking, Lord, what you got for me? What am I going to do? And if I follow you, is it worth it? Hey, don't minimize the commitment that these young people have to make to follow Christ. Don't minimize it. Listen, some of us older ones, we're following Jesus now because we went our own way for so long and wrecked everything, and now, oh yeah. But let me tell you something. It takes faith. Listen. It takes faith for a young person to say, I'm going to live my entire life for Christ. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And for me, I was sitting there wondering, and I was wrestling. Boy, I tell you what. And that film was part of what helped me. But she wrestled with it, and she finally came to the place. She said, Lord, I'll never forget this statement. She said, I'd rather have you and be in this chair as a quadriplegic than to have full use of all my body and not have you. Basically, she was saying like what Mary's saying, be it unto me according to thy will, according to thy ways and thy will. Boy, I hadn't got it all right at all. But I tell you, that's tender because it's a person wrestling. And I tell you, this world beats us up sometimes. And folks of all, wherever we are in our Christian life, wherever we are in our life, the Lord is saying, you are highly favored. He is sending overtures of His love to you so that you might give your life to Jesus Christ. And so love demands a response, and then love creates a result in us, and that is to worship Him. I'd like us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.